welcome to Outbeat Now on KRCB FM Santa Rosa. Outbeat Now is part of the Outbeat Radio series of programs that airs each and every Sunday night at 8 p.m. We're radio for, about, and produced by the LGBT community of Sonoma County. You can listen to past shows, get information about upcoming shows, and follow Outbeat on the web at our own website, www.outbeatradio.org. I'm Jeff Basham, and I'm here tonight with my co-host, Greg Moralia. Tonight, Greg will interview professional athlete and straight ally Hudson Taylor. Hudson is a straight All-American wrestler and coach at Columbia University and has launched the website athleteally.com in an effort to combat homophobia in sports and ensure the locker room is a safe space for all. And later in the show, Greg chats in with the youth at Positive Images in Santa Rosa, including talking to co-directors Jim Foster and Nancy Vogel. They have some great events coming up, including their annual gay prom. All this and more coming up this hour, but first, the Outbeat Radio News. Say,
tell it like it is. Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, April 22nd, 2012. This past Friday was the 17th annual Day of Silence, and following a White House screening of the documentary Bully, President Obama endorsed both the Safe Schools Improvement Act and the Student Non-Discrimination Act. The President made the announcement on Friday on the 17th annual Day of Silence, where LGBT students and allies sustain a vow of nonverbal communication to call attention to the silencing effect of anti-LGBT bullying and harassment in schools. The School Non-Discrimination Act was introduced by Senator Al Franken and Congressman Jared Polis, and the Safe Schools Improvement Act introduced by Senator Bob Casey and Congresswoman Linda Sanchez. Both bills are being championed by the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, known as GLSEN, and the ACLU. The President and his administration have taken many steps to address the bullying issue, according to a White House official. He added, the President is proud to support the Student Non-Discrimination Act introduced by Senator Al Franken and the Safe Schools Improvement Act introduced by Senator Bob Casey. These bills will help ensure that all students are safe and healthy and can learn in environments free from discrimination, bullying, and harassment. Ian Thompson, ACLU legislative representative, said, having the White House stand behind the Student Non-Discrimination Act is key to getting the necessary legislation passed into law. Our public schools should be a safe harbor for youth, not a place of exclusion and ridicule. By passing the Student Non-Discrimination Act, Congress can have a profound and very real impact in improving the lives of LGBT students. However, a Republican running for the U.S. Senate seat in New Mexico said that legislation that could protect LGBT students against bullying would criminalize children for teasing each other, for having red hair, or for being too short. Republican Heather Wilson said at a candidate debate last week that the Student Non-Discrimination Act would violate the First Amendment if enacted. Wilson even mocked her own deep voice, sarcastically saying that she has never been made fun of for it. She added, as parents, we have to deal with bullying and strengthen our children to be comfortable with themselves, and also to show empathy and acceptance towards others. But that particular act is so broad, it would actually punish children and say that it's prohibited to express an opinion with respect to homosexuality in the schools. And finally, she added, I just think it's wrong and it's a violation of the First Amendment. And here locally, students at Napa Valley College were among the many who participated in this year's Day of Silence. Members of the Queer Straight Alliance wore duct tape over their mouths, and one even wrote the names of LGBT hate crime victims on his arms. LGBT students and straight allies led a march around the campus during the noon hour that caught the attention of one other large student activity, where they actually stopped what they were doing and fell silent in support for the queer marchers. The Day of Silence was founded in 1996 by students at the University of Virginia, with over 150 students participating in the inaugural event. In 2001, GLSEN became the official organizational sponsor of the event. According to GLSEN's survey of 7,000 students, nearly 90% of LGBT students report being harassed in school just this past year because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And 30% of LGBT students have missed a day of school at some point this past month out of fear of being targeted for violence. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Tuesday, April 24th, from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., the Santa Rosa Senior Group will meet at the Glacier Center in Santa Rosa. And also on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Thursday at 6:30 p.m., the Men's Peer-to-Peer HIV Group will meet at Face-to-Face, 873 2nd Street in Santa Rosa. And on Saturday, April 28th at 6:30 p.m., the Russian River Sisters will host Red Dress Party, supporting their None of the Above scholarship program. This will happen at the Highland Dell Lodge and Restaurant at 21050 River Boulevard in Monterio. The event includes dinner with amazing Sonoma County wines, entertainment, and a silent auctions. You can learn more and get your tickets by going to the sisters' website at www.rrsisters.org. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Morelia.
Thanks, Greg, as always, for an excellent news broadcast. And welcome back to Outbeat Now on KRCB.
I practice and preach civility outside of the mat. As soon as I cross the circle, I'm coming for blood. I won ACCs twice. I was a three-time All-American. Most wins in a career. Top 10 in NCAA history. My biggest thing is trying to make athletes conscious of the words that they're using. This is about how we treat one another. When we diminish others, we only diminish ourselves. How do we empower as many people as possible to have a voice?
We're now very excited to welcome Hudson Taylor, straight ally and professional wrestler, to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Hudson, it's just great to have you with us here, especially following this year's Day of Silence. But you've chosen not to remain silent as a straight ally, and we appreciate so much the work you're doing. But let's start out by having you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and how you got into wrestling.
I started wrestling when I was 6 years old, so in many ways, I think my sport was chosen for me. Back then, I didn't really know what wrestling was about. I think it was just a sport which my parents could put me in to exert a lot of energy so that I could actually go to bed at night. But, you know, after doing it for many years, I started to get better and better at it. And it's really just become a major part of who I am and a real passion for me. And I ended up going to the number one ranked wrestling high school in the country, and then, you know, on a scholarship to Maryland, and now I'm a wrestling coach up at Columbia University. Yeah.
Fantastic. Good for you. So when did you first become aware of homophobia in athletics, and kind of what sparked your interest in that area?
I think I became aware of it at a far earlier age than when I felt comfortable doing something about it. In fact, most of my life I was quite complacent, and I did not speak out or take a stand. But the truth is, from the earliest age, regardless of what team I was on, my teammates and my coaches often would say homophobic and I think sexist things. You know, it was very much part of the athletic culture that raised me. And so by virtue of that, it you know, my words and actions in many ways were an extension of that. And I think I was just as guilty as the next athlete of saying, oh, that's so gay, or, you know, man up. You know, these words that have a tendency to diminish and divide. And it wasn't until I got to the University of Maryland that I really realized that was a problem, and I started to do something about it.
Now, was there a particular incident that sort of moved you into that place to take action?
Sure, yeah. I actually started at the University of Maryland as a theater major. So there weren't too many of us, you know, Division I wrestlers / theater majors, but there was a light switch moment, so to speak. In my first month as a theater student, I was sitting next to this kid, Matt, who had sat to my right every day for the first month of school. And one day he stood up and said, you know, class, I have an announcement, I'm gay. And next thing I know, something really special happened. You know, the entire class just started clapping and giving Matt high fives and hugs. And all of a sudden I was witnessing this wonderful, beautiful makeshift coming out party. You know, I saw Matt take this really personal but public step and be just completely welcomed with open arms. And it was really nice to see. And then to go back across campus, to go back down into the locker room a few hours later, and to hear my teammates then use that homophobic and derogatory and demeaning language just kind of put it into perspective for me in a way that it hadn't been before. You know, it made me step back and question if that was what I, is that what the sport of wrestling is? I mean, is that who we are? Is that what it means to be an athlete, that we use this type of language? And it was because of Matt that I really decided that that was not the legacy that I want to leave behind, and that I was in a unique position to do something about it.
So tell us how your peers reacted the first time you spoke out.
Well, I have to say I took it slowly because, as I'm sure many folks know, when you decide to take a stand, you know, we're all coming to this conversations at varying levels of comfort. And even though I had a friend who was now coming out, I was still really scared of what my teammates would say or how they would react. And so I took small, simple steps in the right direction. I'd say my first form of outspokenness was through Facebook and Twitter, kind of using my virtual voice as a platform. And that was kind of just a little bit of a safer way for me to at least let it be known what it was I stood for and believed in without having to have those difficult conversations. And then I went a little bit further. I got a little bit more comfortable. I started to wear, you know, LGBT ally T-shirts and safe space stickers and put it in my locker. And just sort of I became a walking billboard of allyship. and then gradually, you know, I got comfortable engaging my teammates in the conversation. And, you know, a lot of the time it wasn't, hey, don't use that kind of language, but really just asking questions of one another, you know, saying, hey, is that the word you mean to use? Or do you realize what that word means? Or do you realize how that makes us look? Because I think the biggest thing for changing athletics, and I think changing the word choice of my teammates, is getting people to think critically about their place in a larger community. And unless athletes and other individuals have that context and start to gain the perspective necessary to understand that their words expand and resonate beyond athletics into other areas of life, I don't think a whole lot's going to change. And so, you know, I started asking questions of my teammates, and I think they really understood. They were willing to get behind it because at the heart of athletics is really the idea of equality that, you know, if you're young or old or tall or short or gay or straight, it shouldn't matter so long as you can compete. And I think when I started to advocate, that was something that my teammates understood, my coaches understood, and made my message really well received.
So as you began to speak out and post on Facebook and Twitter, did you get any pushback from your colleagues or your coaches?
I didn't get as much pushback as you would think. I mean, when you make it about respect and how we treat one another, it becomes something that I believe a lot of athletes and a lot of individuals are willing to get behind. But what did happen in my senior year, and kind of the catalyst for me being, you know, doing the work that I'm doing on the level that I'm doing it, was I put this the Human Rights Campaign sticker on my headgear. And all of a sudden, that did a couple things. First, it changed the conversation with my teammates from being less about how we treat one another, and more about these are my political beliefs, these are my religious beliefs, and you will never convince me otherwise. And so all of a sudden, these really great conversations I was having with my peers just sort of devolved into who could yell louder for longer. And you know, that was probably the first time that it really made me aware that, you know, there are some people that, regardless of how you frame it or you know, how you go about starting this conversation, that they're not going to agree with you, and you're going to hit a wall at some point. And so I think it was because of those conversations that I tried to just bring my message and the work that I do back to respect and you know, creating a safe space.
Sounds a lot like the Thanksgiving dinner table, right? You don't ever talk about politics or religion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, why do you think homophobia is such an issue, or still such an issue in sports today?
Ooh.
I mean, is it really all about the locker room still?
Well, I think it's a couple things. I think homophobia and sexism are kind of one and the same, in that a lot of the athletes and a lot of the individuals who say homophobic things don't necessarily feel like they're homophobic, but it comes from an improper assumption of masculinity and femininity, right? So there's this assumption in sport still that in order to be, say, a successful male athlete, you have to be masculine. In order to be masculine, you have to be straight. And so using homophobic words, using sexist language, is the easiest way for someone to diminish another individual's masculinity. And I think we see the inverse with female athletes. You know, a successful female athlete is assumed to be more masculine. And because of that, people place that lesbian label on female athletes. And so we have this culture of sport that keeps a lot of male athletes in the closet, and a lot of female athletes, I think, from, you know, speaking out as allies because they're constantly fighting that lesbian label. And it's a really difficult situation. I'd also say that the structure of athletics is what makes it a continually homophobic place. And what I mean by that is athletics is it's a competitive reward structure. And so from a very early age, I'm learning that I need to rank myself against my teammates. You know, there's varsity and junior varsity, captain and not captain, good and not good. And I think that desire to kind of place yourself on this totem pole is where a lot of that homophobic language comes from. Because I think a lot of young athletes growing up can say, hey, you know, dude, you're a fag. And that's one way that they can knock somebody else down to pick themselves up. Because sport, in many ways, is still this cult of masculinity. And it is running on these improper and harmful assumptions.
Sure. I think you're absolutely right. And we see that same dynamic play out in other places in society and in other jobs. I can speak for myself. I saw that all the time in the law enforcement profession. It's a very masculine, very male-dominated job. So tell us about this organization you created and what its mission is.
So a little over a year ago, I founded this nonprofit called Athlete Ally, with a really simple goal, trying to educate and empower as many straight allies as possible to speak out against homophobia and transphobia in sports. You know, I started Athlete Ally because I did this interview in my senior year about being an ally. And in response to this one interview, I got like 2,000 emails from closeted kids across the country who all said to me, for the first time in my life, I feel like I can join a sports team. And it really made me realize, you know, if a college wrestler can get that kind of response for just speaking out as an ally, the power of a football player or a basketball player or a coach or an entire team or an entire athletic department speaking out as an ally would change people's lives. And so a lot of what I do with Athlete Ally is just working with student athletes, trying to remove the obstacles they perceive to stand in their way. So how do I help them have a voice? So we have about 40 Athlete Ally ambassadors, and these are student athletes across the country who want to engage their athletic community in this conversation. And so we give them talking points, we help them schedule meetings, and really we just try to help people take collective action, because I think that's really how we can raise the bar. You know, if one person takes a stand or signs a pledge, it's great, but it's kind of just another number. But if we can get, you know, the entire student section to wear ally t-shirts, now we've changed the fan culture at a school. We get the entire all the athletes to, you know, sign an Athlete Ally pledge, and all of a sudden, you know, we've created single-handedly a new standard of athletic integrity, and all of a sudden it becomes unacceptable to use that kind of language. And so that's really the mission I'm on. It's just all about empowerment, all about helping others spread the word and hoping it reaches the people that need to hear it most.
So tell us where people can go to learn more about the organization.
Yeah, www.athleteally.org. You can find us there. You can take the pledge, the Athlete Ally pledge. Please share it with anyone and everyone you know. And, you know, just continue to help out in whatever way you feel you can. I mean, my biggest thing is that progress can't occur unless we're willing to have those difficult conversations. And so, you know, as I go around the country and advocate to these different athletic departments, I'm on this mission to bring the voice of allyship to places where it may have never been before. Because I think once this message of respect and inclusion and making sportsmanship synonymous with allyship gets brought into every locker room across the country, we're finally going to be able to make sport everything we know it can be.
Fantastic. Well, I know you're working with one of our colleague organizations, Campus Pride. Tell us a little about what you're doing with Campus Pride. And
sure. So Campus Pride, I'm very excited. They're putting out this this climate survey for LGBT athletes in college athletics. And really, they're putting a number on how many openly gay athletes there are competing in the NCAA. And I think you know, I'm really excited about Campus Pride and work they're doing because, you know, their work gives my advocacy context in a way that I never could, right? So I can go and I can talk to student athletes and I can tell them why they should be allies, but until we can point to those openly LGBT members of their community and say, you know, this is part of your experience, whether you know it or not. You know, you have friends and teammates and frat brothers and sorority sisters who are gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender, and you know this issue matters to you. Then not, you know, I think that's a really crucial thing in the advancement of equality across the country. And so, Campus Pride has been spearheading that. They are also their climate indexes are really, really special. And I know that they're going to start ranking athletic programs in colleges across the country, which is another incentive to help us be better, which is just such a great thing. So I'm really excited to be working with them and helping what they do in whatever way I can, because I think it's just so important to advancing equality in sport.
Excellent. I got a chance to preview Legalize Gay, which premieres next month on May 5th, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about the Legalized Gay documentary and, you know, what it was like to become so visible now in a film.
Well, I don't know yet. We'll see on May 5th what it's like, but it was really a treat to be able to tell my story and you know, into a camera and kind of I don't know, just tell people why I'm doing what I'm doing in a more visible way is always you know, a very special thing. And so I feel very honored and lucky to be able to not only be a part of this movement, but be a part of this documentary. I mean, I graduated college in 2010. So a couple years ago, I didn't think I would be advocating in this space. I had no idea that I would be on the road, you know, now speaking at colleges and starting a nonprofit. And so I'm incredibly humbled and honored to even be included in this documentary, and I really hope for any of you who are listening, you'll check it out on May 5th.
Well, I can tell you that it is a really great documentary with some amazing stories, including Hudson's, and I would encourage everybody to tune in on May 5th to the Logo Network for the premiere of Legalize Gay. Let me shift gears a little bit and talk about professional sports. You know, we've seen some really visible examples of homophobia in the media, in the professional sports area, you know, with slurs used by some pretty high-profile athletes. And we've also seen some pretty strong condemnation by league officials.
Sure.
Are these examples of homophobia exceptions in professional sports, do you think, or just the ones that are catching the media's eye?
I think they're the ones that are catching the media's eye. I mean, you know, you have Kobe Bryant and Joaquin Noah, the two basketball players who both got fined for using homophobic slurs, but you can, you know, they were caught on camera, and so it was very hard to deny that it was happening. Whereas, you know, we look at hockey, and we have this Philadelphia Flyer. I think his name is Fitzsimmons,
right?
Who also said a homophobic slur, supposedly, but the NFL decided that it was inconclusive, and they couldn't confirm that's what happened, and so there was no sanction, there was no penalty. Professional sports is getting better, and I want to make that really clear. I mean, the fact that there are fines and suspensions really should be applauded, but the truth is that it's all reactionary. You know, it's all in response to something homophobic, something bad. And so while I think it's great that we're saying that professional sports franchises are saying, you know, this is not acceptable, this is not who we are, I think in order to really change professional sports and, you know, stop that type of language, it needs to be institutionalized in a way that it isn't. You know, I think teams, and they need to take proactive steps, both in policy and in procedure. You know, the fact that 8 professional baseball teams all made an It Gets Better video, you know, that's a really powerful statement. And I think that raises the bar a little bit higher. And I would like to see, you know, more teams kind of follow suit, because, you know, an affirming voice is a different statement than a reactive voice, you know, than saying, well, this is not what I meant to say, I'm sorry if I offended anyone, versus this is not what you know, my team represents, and you know, we're doing all these things because this is who we are, we're allies. But we definitely have a long way to go. We've come a long way, but I'm definitely encouraged by the progress made in really in 2011 alone.
Sure. Well, you mentioned the It Gets Better videos, and there have been a number of sports teams that have put together some pretty powerful messages. And although these are, I guess, intended for young teens, tell me what type of impact do you think they have on college and professional athletes who see their peers speaking out?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, people always say, what's it going to take to change the culture of sport? And you hear a lot of interviews that say, well, it's going to take, you know, that professional athlete to come out. That's really going to be the tipping point. And I think that's true. That'll make a lot of difference. But I kind of see it as a chicken or the egg kind of thing. You know, until we have a critical mass of straight allies who are vocal supporters, that athlete's not going to feel comfortable coming out, whether it's in high school or college or professional sports. And so every single team that makes an It Gets Better video is another voice that's helping athletes come out across the country. In many ways, athletes are not only leaders, but heroes. You know, when I was a young kid, I looked up to professional athletes. You know, they were my role models. And I think for that closeted kid, hearing their favorite professional sports team making It Gets Better video and you know, and show support will just do so much good and could be the major difference in helping that person come out.
Terrific. And give us your website once again for Athlete Ally.
www.athleteally.org.
Fantastic. Hudson Taylor, you're doing amazing work. Thank you so much for being with us tonight on Outbeat Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we'll be right back with the Outbeat Youth segment right after the music break.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your ship bare. See how I'll leave with every piece of. The scars of your love remind me of us.
that, of course, was Adele with Rolling in the Deep. You're listening to Outbeat now on KRCB FM Santa Rosa. It's time now for the Outbeat Youth segment. And good evening, and welcome back to this month's edition of Outbeat Youth. I'm Greg Morelia. Outbeat Youth is a segment for and about the LGBT youth community here in the North Bay and beyond. And you'll find us here every month as part of Outbeat Now, right here on KRCB FM Santa Rosa. We've got a studio full of amazing people from Positive Images, Santa Rosa's and the Sonoma County's premier LGBT youth organization. And they're here to talk about what's going on at PI, as well as what's coming up next weekend at Hella Gay Prom 6. So I want to start out by having the youth members tell us a little bit about yourselves. Give us your name, where you go to school, and how long you've been involved at PI. Molly, let's start with you.
Yeah, I'm Molly, and I've been involved with Positive Images since December of 2010. I've been on leadership since May and took the peer counseling training over the summer. I currently go to El Molino High School, and I'm a senior, soon to graduate. And my experience with PI has just been fantastic.
Got to be pretty excited about graduation coming up in just a few weeks, right?
Definitely.
Mike, how about you?
All right. Hi, my name is Mike, and I have been at Positive Images since the summer of 2011. I started off as a phone volunteer and found that I really enjoyed having a community of LGBT individuals to help me in my growth of being a gay man, and also to be able to support younger people like that. And I actually just graduated from Cornell University in December of 2011 and came back to start my internship at Positive Images, and it has been an unbelievable experience.
Now, what was your degree in at Cornell?
It was a Bachelor of Science in Viticulture and Enology.
Oh, very good. We have a nice winemaking program at Napa Valley College where I work. Very good. Jaime, how about you?
I came to Positive Images. It's going to be 2 years soon, and I go to the JC currently. I got into leadership, and then I decided to be a peer counselor just because I wanted to kind of help the kids and kind of, like, let out whatever they're – and be kind of like a support for those to, like, come to me and kind of – share their issues and what's going on at home. So Positive Images has been a great support group for me, specifically in coming out to my parents, since I am Mexican and Catholic. So it's very hard in my, like, ethnicity to, like, for people to come out. So why I have Positive Images.
So let me ask you a couple questions about that. Did you come out after you started going to PI?
I did. I wasn't planning on coming out to my family in general. But then I started going to Positive Images, and I was like this shy kid that didn't really want to talk. And then finally, in going to all these meetings and hearing all these stories, I wanted to, like, come out to my parents and kind of just be myself, because I was hiding who I was to them and kind of just sharing who I really was and not being afraid to, like, be myself around them.
Great. And there are many adult volunteers that help make this organization happen as well. Jackie, you're here with us tonight. Tell us a little about how you got involved with Positive Images.
Well, I started going to the trans group back in, I think, 2008 or 9, and since then I find myself getting more and more involved. I've been trained as a peer counselor. I now run the youth trans support group on the first and third Tuesdays, and I co-facilitate the Transgender North Bay, which is for male-to-female trans people anywhere on the spectrum, on the second and the fourth Tuesdays.
Fantastic. Well, we'll come back and hear more about that particular group in just a few minutes, but I want to introduce the co-directors who have made Positive Images what it is. Jim Foster, who was one of the founders, and Nancy Vogel are here with us. Nancy, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with PI.
Well, let's see. Petaluma City Schools had – hi, everybody. I'm Nancy. Petaluma City Schools had a tragic event with a young woman who was really dealing with the pain of coming out. And so they had an initiative in Petaluma City Schools, and so I started researching what was going on with young people and the queer community here. And I had known of Jim, but not really gotten involved, and so it just seemed so silly to reinvent the wheel, you know, one more starting again. And so Jim had been leading PI for 10 years and I think was pretty fried. So it just was a perfect timing to meet him and get involved in it. And all it took was really one meeting and then I was in. And that was in 2000.
Yeah. And you said he was fried then, but he's still here, still run the organization.
Well, Jim volunteered for 10 years solid with just volunteering.
Wow.
And I was in the nonprofit community here in the county, so I had some experience with grant writing. And so at that time, it just couldn't go on. It was a real functioning organization, but it was all volunteer, and so it just didn't make sense. So the two of us together just made a perfect partnership to take both our skill sets and put them together, and it's been 12 years now, so it's great.
Terrific. Jim, tell us where you came from, and then tell us how you got involved with PI.
Absolutely. Hello, everybody. I'm Jim Foster, co-founder and co-director currently with Nancy, Positive Images. Well, literally 23 years ago in April, I went to Sonoma County's first PFLAG meeting and met Beverly Laird. And I had been looking for a contact or to start a venue in support of gay youth, because there just had literally been nothing in Sonoma County. And I was aware in San Francisco that Lyric had begun, and there were groups there. And also Rainbow's End in Marin County had 3 years on everybody in terms of gay youth support. And I personally had so much grief over the HIV epidemic and so many in my community that had died that I really was after another mode of work, which was, centered primarily in the youth vitality community. So it took us, Beverly and myself, we spent about 6 months and started the first group of five young gay men in my therapy office in January of 1990. And to date, we have served over 2,600 youth who identify as queer or GLBT or gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans, and now definitely an inclusion of straight allies. I could not feel happier in terms of what has happened with the organization.
So, over all those years, obviously you've seen a tremendous amount of change. Young people are coming out at a younger and younger age now than certainly it was 20 years ago. Tell us what other kinds of changes you've seen in the youth that are coming to PI.
In the youth that have been coming to PI in the last 10 years, definitely I see, higher risk in individuals, much more addiction. Many seem homeless. They are younger. And so where our median age for the first 10 years was 18, 19, 20, and the beginning of college. Now the median age is 16, 17, 18. So it's definitely a trend. But the meetings are full of young people with extreme needs that we did not experience and witness in the first 10 years.
Now, how is Positive Images funded?
Yes, great question. Again, just community donations to keep it going for the first 10 years. And then we had some mini grants. We had support from the Community Foundation, Sonoma County, and some generous donors, some patrons. We've had some wonderful community support from that way. And for years, like 6-7 years, just straight community donations and a few little grants. Just last year, for the first time we ever received actual county funding, which was pretty glorious, I have to say. So the Mental Health Services Act for Sonoma County identified queer youth as an underserved population, and this was really for the first time. So we've been really, really lucky to work with the county, and we think providing a service that up to this point had been pretty unrecognized and invisible, really.
Well, it's pretty amazing. It's hard enough for any nonprofit organization to survive, particularly in today's economic times, but for an organization to be around that long, really operating on just the generosity of people in the county, it's impressive.
And hopefully at the end, before we talk, we have a new initiative that I'd love to introduce on air tonight. So
excellent.
I think it's pretty exciting for the community folks.
We're going to let all the listeners get inspired by what our young people have to say tonight. And by the end of the show, they're going to want to be calling and getting involved with Positive Images for sure. So, Molly, let me start with you. Tell me what a typical meeting is like.
Well, each Thursday night is when we have our meetings, and the first Thursday of each month is our check-in night, and we have people come, and they, you know, choose to basically talk about what's going on in their lives, talk about, you know, new things, good things, bad things, anything that they really feel like they need to get off their chest. They have, you know, people surrounding them who are listening. And also we have peer counselors available for them who are basically trained people around their age, like me and other people in this room, who can be there on one-on-one sessions to listen to them. And we also have small group nights where we will break off into separate groups and have maybe like 5 to 10 people talk about a particular subject like addiction or relationships and, you know, go into depth about whatever they want to relating to that subject. And we also can have guest night where we have someone who's relating to the theme of the month come, like we had a sex and the law month or we have a gender month or something like that. And then we get someone who's willing to come and talk about it. And then if there's ever a fifth Thursday of each month, we can have a movie night and we all, you know, gather together and we watch a movie and enjoy spending time.
So it's definitely an opportunity not only to learn, but to have some social connection as well.
Yeah, it's definitely a great support group, but you also can have, you know, fantastic friends. I personally found a family away from home and found people that I really felt like I could connect to and belong with.
So, Mike, let me ask you, if I'm a young person, I've never been to Positive Images, do I have to apply? Is there a fee? Where do I go?
One of the great things about Positive Images is you actually don't have to apply. The general age group that we serve is between 12 to 24, and adult volunteers are also welcome if they have a specific skill that they would like to bring to PI, and they go through a screening process. But in terms of an application, we do not have any application. We encourage interested members to come to the Thursday night meeting as a very strong introduction to the kind of work that we do, and just everything that Molly said is a really powerful way to find yourself in a accepting, embracing, loving, open, non-judgmental, honest community of peers and also adults that that have amazingly compassionate souls, and these peer counselors are also amazing. There's certainly no cost.
So where are you meeting now?
Right now, we're meeting at the Youth Build building behind the Safeway Center on Mendocino Avenue.
Okay.
It's on Lomitas Avenue, and we have that information listed on our website.
Which is?
Pause-images.org.
Pauseimages.org.
Excuse me, no dash.
And we'll have that on the Outbeat Youth website, so you don't need to worry about writing that down. But that's the great place to go to find out where the meetings are going to be held. And then they start at what time on Thursday nights?
They start at 7 p.m. on Thursday nights every Thursday night of the year.
Great. And so it's open really to anybody who's maybe exploring their sexuality. They're not sure. Do you have to be out?
No, you certainly don't have to be out. We've had many individuals come that are not out and find the skills and kind of the readiness in themselves. We don't certainly push anyone to come out. We encourage them to, and I feel like we give them a space to really know what it's like to be out in a safe environment.
And what about confidentiality? I would imagine if you show up to a meeting and you might see someone that you know from your school there, it might be a little surprising to you, but if you're not out, what kind of assurance do you have that that's going to be protected?
Definitely. That's a great question. At the beginning of every meeting, we always cover that this is a confidential space and that everything said in this room from 7 to 9 p.m. every Thursday is completely confidential. And that goes for the small groups that we have that Molly mentioned, as well as peer counseling sessions.
Great. So, Jaime, let me switch over to you and talk more about coming out and your story and how helpful Positive Images was.
Sure.
How did it happen?
I grew up in Mexico till I was 8. And so over there, it's way different. Gender roles are thrown into children's throats, basically, to put it Frank. So it's kind of like women are going to do one thing, men are going to do the other. So growing up with that and being in a Catholic church, I knew early on that I was different, that I liked guys, but like I didn't want to express it, mostly because, you know, here I was hearing that I was a sinner and I was going to hell and all this stuff. So moving to the States, it's kind of a fresh start. And getting here, I kind of saw that people here were very open, very different. Meeting like one of my best friends, who was very open. I mean, he wore like women's clothes to school and was very flamboyant, and people seemed to be okay with it. Up until the fifth grade, you know, people learned what the word gay meant and started using it as a wrong thing and throwing it into our faces kind of thing. So I spread myself away from him. My sophomore and junior year, that summer, he committed suicide. So when that happened, I started to come out to my friends, more to like honor him in a way, to honor someone that was so open and so outgoing, to just be myself and be that outgoing as well. So I started coming out to my friends, and then I graduated from high school and was okay with coming out, but I wasn't sure I was going to come out to my parents. PI did a panel at Face to Face, the HIV awareness, organization in Santa Rosa, and I was volunteering there. So they kind of showed up and shared that, and I showed up to the first meeting and saw how great it was and started going and started learning, you know, being in leadership and learning so much stuff about myself through the peer counseling training that I went through, that finally I came out to my parents. Of course, they didn't take it very well, but, you know, I kind of expected that, and I'm still working with them on that and living with them. So it's kind of a tag and go kind of thing. I don't know if that's even something you could say, but yeah, like, you know, it's been rough, but it's getting better and better. So yeah, without Positive Images, I don't think I would have come out to them. It's definitely a space where I've learned to have, like, that I have a voice and people will listen. So
great. And Jackie, you run a couple of unique groups. Tell us about a little bit more about what you're doing with the trans community, and specifically what's available for trans youth.
Well, the trans youth group, they're basically to validate their journey wherever they are. I've had people come in who have fully transitioned. I've had people come in who don't even want to talk. They just want to sit and listen to other people. And we make sure that everybody understands that wherever they are in their journey and however they want to make that journey, that's okay. And we make it a safe, confidential place for them to get the information they need on hormones or transition, the law, the form, the paperwork, connections with resources in the community, everything that we can do to make their journey easier.
Terrific. And tell us when the transgender group meets.
The trans youth group is the first and third Tuesdays at the Center at Positive Images, from 6 to 7:30.
And the center is located where? 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. We
right
say that
in the
almost
heart of downtown, yes, right behind Soco Coffee, right off 4th Street.
Fantastic. And tell me a little bit about the adult group then.
The adult group is on the second and fourth Tuesdays. And again, pretty much the same range of people, including sometimes we have parents who come, and significant others. On Tuesday this week is our potluck, so anyone who is trans-friendly is welcome to come, bring food, socialize in a very easygoing atmosphere. On the first meeting of the month, we limit it mostly to trans people, and we can talk about our stories. And on the last Tuesday of the month, it's more socialization and just making friendships.
Terrific. And then networking, of course, as everybody in this room knows, is so important. So thank you for that. So let's hear about the Hella Gay Prom coming up. Who wants to talk about that? Molly?
Well, Hella Gay Prom is basically the awesome gay version of high school prom that Positive Images puts on. We have Queer Coming and Hella Gay Prom, which are basically the awesome gay versions of normal high school dances. And let me tell you, they are nothing but normal high school dances. They are so amazing, fantastic. People actually dance there. The music's great. There's free food. It's a great atmosphere. And, I mean, anyone who's queer-friendly, just go. I mean, my high school prom and Hella Gay Prom are on the same night, and it really wasn't much of a choice. And that is this Saturday from 7:30 to 11 at the Steel Lane Community Center, and it is going to be amazing. It is masquerade theme, and we are going to have a ball.
Okay, so let's get some more of those details out for listeners that may want to attend. First of all, do you have to identify as LGB or T to attend?
You don't. I mean, the cool thing about the dance is it's like Molly said, you know, you just have to be friendly and you want to just have a good time. The age is between 12 to 24.
14, and, I think, yeah. is going to be more yeah, like 14. It, more high school. It's a pretty high school age. But.
Exactly. Okay. And it's a substance-free dance, so there's no drugs, alcohol, or any of that. It's just a safe area for people to just come, have community, and have a good time and just enjoy themselves.
Great. So where do people go to get tickets?
Well, you can go onto our Facebook page, and it's the Hella Gay Prom event page, or just the Positive Images Facebook page and inquire about it. Also, anyone could stop by one of the meetings, so that would be this Thursday right before the dance, and you can pick up a ticket there. They're $15 pre-sale, but you can also get them for $20 at the door on Saturday night.
And you said there's going to be food there as well?
Yes. Lovely, delicious food.
Very good. And tell me the kind of music.
Lady Gaga to 80s pop to rock and everything that's possibly fun to dance to.
We have one of the best DJs. It's the father of one of our an alumnus, and so Tim's been doing our dances now for 6 years. He's incredible. He's got his computer set up, so it's all requests. So it's pretty much whatever's happening that night with the members. Exactly. They just put their request in, so it's great.
It sounds like a great time. I've been to one or two in my past. And I seem to remember something about a drag show. Is that going to be on the agenda for this year?
Yes.
Yes, we have lovely performers who go on the stage and dance and do whatever the heck they want to. And they go up there and we have people who are just people who go up and dance. We also have, you know, people in drag that go up and dance. They just go up and have a good time and, you know, be themselves on the stage.
Great. So we'll make sure to get the Facebook link on the Outbeat Youth website as well. You can go to outbeatyouth.com. tomorrow morning and find that link. It's great. What about Pride this year? It's coming up in June. I know PI is always involved here at Sonoma County Pride, and then you also march at San Francisco Pride. So what's on tap for this year?
Well, Nancy, why don't you talk about Sonoma County Pride?
Yeah, there is one thing. We've participated in Sonoma County Pride for a while, but now Robin and Ellen are taking 1 year off of We Mean It Productions, and so Margaret Cho is playing on June 2nd. So she is working with our board of directors, and she's going to do a special invitation-only meet and greet before her show. And so that's going to be a benefit for Positive Images, and we are, as you can tell, Molly is really excited. So, it's going to be a meet and greet. So we'll have the regular ticket plus a donation to Positive Images, and then she'll meet 50 people and get your picture taken. So please call PI, call our number. Just give us your information, and we'll get back to you.
Great.
And then what's the next day?
The next day is Sonoma County Pride, yes. And that's going to – the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are – you know, they've just cradled Sonoma County Pride and doing a wonderful job.
Great. I want to get back to how adults can get involved real quick because we've got about a minute left.
Okay, this will be a speed thing.
So tell us.
The quickest way is to call the center, which is 707-568-5830, and talk to me or literally come to any Thursday meeting from 7 to 9 at the old Lewis School or the Youth Build building, and get a flavor of what the group is like. And if it feels good, then we'll send you, you know, the application packet in the mail.
Go on the website. If you can't remember the website, it's Positive Images Santa Rosa. If you I know, but if you type in Positive Images Santa Rosa, our website comes out if you can't remember exactly what it is. And then you can go over all the different opportunities we have. I mean, ways to contact us.
Great.
It's hard to fit it in.
It is.
But we're starting a new PI 1000, and that's the one thing I wanted to say to the listening audience, that many people didn't have biological children, didn't adopt, many people over 50 or whatever. And we think, well, you didn't have kids? Yes, you did. We see 25 to 35 every single Thursday. So we're starting a PI 1000. So you sign up to donate $10 a month, and that can be our operating expenses for the year. So we're pretty excited about it.
What a great opportunity. We'll definitely have to have you back on to talk more about
that. I'd love to.
So to all of you, Jackie, Mike, Molly, Jaime, Jim, Nancy, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
All right, and we will be back right after this.
I'm Daniel Radcliffe, and I believe that reaching out for help is the bravest thing a person can do. If you are struggling and need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386. It's free and confidential, and trained counselors are there to listen 24/7 without judgment. To learn more about the Trevor Project's life-saving work for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or questioning young people, go to thetrevorproject.org.
And that brings us to the end of this month's Outbeat Youth segment. Remember, you can follow us all month long on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. Listen and download past shows on iTunes and, of course, from our own website at outbeatyouth.com. And that also concludes tonight's Outbeat Now show. Jeff and I will be back next month on the fourth Sunday of May with the latest information about the 2012 Sonoma County Pride Celebration and this year's Interfaith Service. And on the Outbeat Youth segment, we'll be talking with students from the Police Academy at Napa Valley College about their experience when one of their own came out as a gay man during class. Tune in next Sunday night for a special Outbeat Extra. Gary Carnevale and I will be back talking with some of the local candidates running for public office who are hoping to get your vote. That's at 8 p.m. next Sunday night, right here on KRCB Radio. And you're listening to KRCB FM Santa Rosa Community Powered Radio at 91.1 and 90.9 FM. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. New Dimensions is next.